We have two readings today. The first is from the prophet Isaiah. That's 40, verses 1 through 11. And the words will be on the screen and also found on page 667 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. This is the new revised standard version that I'll be reading from. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. And our second reading is from Mark, which was the first gospel written. And this is the very beginning of it, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, in the New Testament on page 34 of your Pew Bibles. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Here ends our reading for today.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy indeed. It's a greeting and hope we still convey in the Advent season. Comfort and joy is exactly what the prophet Isaiah is conveying to the people of God in exile in Babylon. Isaiah is one of the great prophets of the Hebrew Bible. Isaiah's vision and understanding of God at work in the world helps the people survive the exile and helps them rebuild when they do return to Jerusalem. Isaiah, as a prophet, helps the people define their identity as the people of God. Isaiah's theology is profound, and so is Isaiah's poetry. The text from Isaiah that Janet read so well for us this morning is a complex poem. And we'll come back to that, but first you get your Bible lesson, because some of you have told me you really like these. What we know as the book of Isaiah is the work of many prophets. We think of three Isaiahs in particular. Chapters 1 through 39 of the book of Isaiah are attributed to a prophet actually named Isaiah, who lived in Jerusalem in the 8th century before Christ. That prophet warned of exile to come to the people. Chapters 40 through 55 of the book of Isaiah, scholars call 2nd Isaiah. This prophet is anonymous. We don't know anything about them except that they are from the 6th century before Christ, a full 200 years after the first Isaiah. It is this 2nd Isaiah who we know as the prophet of hope. It is this prophet who speaks to the people of returning to Jerusalem. And the text we heard this morning is the beginning of 2nd Isaiah, the beginning of hope. The final chapters in the book of Isaiah is called 3rd Isaiah, and it's the work of a group of prophets. Their main concern was getting the people to follow God once they had returned to Jerusalem. But today, let us focus on 2nd Isaiah, where our text comes from. Now, you may have noticed that 2nd Isaiah is a poet prophet. And his prophecy starts with a poem. There are three things, at least, that we want to know about this poem. The first thing we need to know is what it says about God. The poem starts, "Comfort, O comfort my people, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term." Isaiah is writing of a God who is not far off. God is near, and God cares for us, God's people. God is seeking to reconcile with the people, and God is seeking to comfort the people. In this poem, we see that God is in a relationship of care with the people. One of Isaiah's key theological points is about God's character. And that point that Isaiah wants us to know throughout the book of Isaiah is that all of creation responds to God. Isaiah, the poet prophet, mentions this in writing, "Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." For our prophet, the earth itself is not only created by God, But the earth itself continues to respond to God's presence in the world. Creation itself acts to level the ground, almost as if it's creating equality and opportunity for God's people. And that brings us to the second thing the prophet wants us to know from this poem. People are a part of God's creation. And therefore, people should not be overly concerned with the way things are. But rather, God's people should participate in God's coming into the world by proclaiming God is coming while they can. The prophet is quick to remind us that our lives are short. We don't have a lot of time to waste. We will wither like grass. But meanwhile, the poet assures us, meanwhile, God's promise to be in the world and God's coming into the world, even as we pass out of it, is an eternal fact. For the poet, God's presence is the basis of reality. Our poet reminds us that God created time, and we experience time differently than God. So if the world is not as we think it should be, if the exiles are not thrilled about being exiled, it's really of no consequence because the resolution will come in God's time. Must have been hard for the exiles to hear that. But the poet wants us to know that God is in control of the universe in ways we can't even begin to fathom. Our poet prophet reminds God's people that they are created by God, they are cared for by God, that God created all things, and God is continuing to work out justice in God's time and God's way. As human beings, we have short views of time. Sometimes we have to trust God. The third thing we want to know about this text is why on earth would the writer of the Gospel of Mark quote it? We often hear this text during Advent, whether we hear the text from Isaiah directly or from the Gospel of Mark. We know these words. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. You know what that means. And Isaiah the poet knows what the image of people in the desert means. The poet knows this echoes the sacred story of the people fleeing Egypt. And the poet uses this image to teach the people that the return from exile will be no less profound found for the people, and no less an act of God coming into history than the people coming into the promised land for the very first time. For the poet Isaiah, the people traveling through the desert after exile back to Jerusalem is a direct parallel of the people leaving Egypt. That is why the writer of the Gospel of Mark quotes Isaiah. The words of Isaiah in the Gospel of Mark announce John the Baptist preparing the people for Jesus. The Gospel of Mark, like Isaiah, uses the image of people in the desert, in the wilderness, to indicate that God is once again re-entering human history in a way that's no less important and no less shattering than when God entered history to lead the people out of the oppression of slavery, and later out of the oppression of exile. For the Gospel of Mark, the arrival of Jesus' ministry into the world is the arrival of God and nothing less than a new age for the world. The prophet Isaiah, in his poem, encourages people to lift up their voices and proclaim the coming of God into the world, to comfort one another in exile, while they can do so, because our lives, they're short. The Gospel of Mark will also call us to lift up our voices and witness to Jesus' ministry, to act with care for others and for the world. What we all must do while we wait for these things to happen is lift up our voices and proclaim to the world that God is coming. There's hope, and we must be ready to respond to God's arrival. To get ready to respond, we have to ask ourselves what we are willing to do so that all of our lives, and not simply a season, become a proclamation of God's care for all. So this morning, I want to end by inviting all of us together to lift up our voices in that old hymn, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Just a verse to remind ourselves, to recommit ourselves to providing comfort and kinship in the season. The words are on the screen and Patty is ready. And my voice is going out, so you're going to have to do this.